Welcome to the show, everyone. This is Connecting the Notes. And I'm your host, Matthew Ray, coming at you live from Valley Free Radio, 103.3 FM, WXOJ LP in Northampton. Tonight, we explore the music and culture of Mali, a country in Western Africa that is home to some of Africa's greats, such as Ali Farka Touré and Salif Keita. This hour, we will explore the traditional music of Western Africa and links between their music and American blues and discuss what is happening to their traditional music today. Helping to elaborate on some of these subjects is Nanette Alvey, a woman who has lived in this region of Africa since 1979 and was kind enough to talk with the show earlier this week. Thank you all for tuning in. To understand the roots of West African music, we must understand the role that griots play in society. Griots are a group of Africans that emerged out of the Mali Empire in the late 14th century. Griots were historians, often documenting history through song for individuals, families, or entire villages. These musicians and storytellers are still relevant in Mandé culture today, although their roles are changing. Joining us on the show is Nanette Alvey, an American-born woman who went to Africa in 1979 as part of Peace Corps, and has remained there as a teacher and health educator since. Earlier this week, we discussed the proud roles of griots in society.
It is still very much alive, although maybe less strong as it used to be. I'll give you just an example. My husband, Ali, who's from Burkina, is from the Fulani group. And his family has had, up until his Father's Day, a family of griots who recorded orally the history of his family. So I met the man who was officially the family's griot and was able to tell the whole history of the family. So up until, I would say, my husband's father's generation, that tradition was still very, very strong. Although the man who carried on the tradition for my husband's family, his children are no longer doing that. So it's within living history, but I think it's dying quickly.
How did they document the history? Was it all by memory, or?
It's all by memory. They know the whole genealogy. They know whose son and whose daughter and what's happened to each family. It's amazing. And I think a lot of it is put into a verse that's said over and over and over again, and that helps with the recollection and the memory. It's passed down from generation to generation. And there's a very strong tie between those two families, such as, you know, to look at them in a day-to-day way, you'd never know that one was not part of the family. They just sort of live together and grow up together. So it's a very close relationship, actually.
That was Ensemble Instrumental National du Mali, an ensemble that was state-supported in the late 1960s. I will have more on that later in the show, but for now I'd like to focus more on griots. You heard Nanette mention that they retain these stories solely by memory and often put the history into verse in order to remember it. Here's an example of a griot from Mali reciting the history of Sabali.
Nina Amadou Sangare Kane Kane mana bo jatigu tola ne Amadou Barife Angant lokala Angant damola Mate ngoni fana mandi jatigi jete baroywa ngani baroko na sanamble la minotiki ke ya fama mobe bla mola kasrima trofo. Ni mbefo mali denw ye faso denw mun bɛ kɔ ka ani mun bɛ kɔnɔna la ni bɛ fɔ bɛɛ lajɛnɛ ye n bɛna mana min bɔ sabari mana janjo dugu janjo kɛra ye han
And that continues for nearly an hour. Although the vast majority of the music performed in this area of Africa was performed by griots, more and more non-griots are now pursuing music. One of the more prominent non-griot musicians is singer Salif Keita, who was of royal heritage yet decided to pursue music in 1967. That was Salif Keita with a song off 2002's Mofu. Listening to Connecting the Notes, I'm your host, Matthew Ray. Thank you for tuning in tonight. This hour, we are looking at the music of Africa, concentrating particularly on the country of Mali. Traditionally, music in this area was performed by griots. Salif Keita, the artist you just heard, was not a griot and faced challenges when he decided to pursue music in 1967. I discussed this with Nanette Alvey, a one-time resident of Mali, and this is what she had to say.
I've read a little bit about it. I've heard him talk about his personal past, and I believe very strongly that yes, he was probably very strongly against the traditions, probably much against the views of his parents, which in Africa is very hard to do. So I'm sure he felt a strong calling to music, which helped him through that difficult period. And I think I remember reading somewhere that even with his parents at a very old age recently, they still were sort of, yeah, music's fine, but, you know, it still wasn't quite what they had hoped for. So, yeah, there definitely was a challenge for him there.
And in 2006, he actually said during an interview with this magazine, Afropop Worldwide, about one of his recent songs, Mabemba. And he said something striking. He said, "That song's very nostalgic. It's as if I'm asking permission of the griots whether I can sing. I have no other solution. I have no other door to go through. I can't live otherwise. It is true I must ask the permission of the griots. I say that my grandfather gave a lot to the griots to pardon me because I play music." He goes on to say, "My grandfather gave a lot. He would cut off his own tail to give a meal to a griot. He gave everything to the griots. Now because there are no battles, there are no wars, we have no professions. So if I interfere in the profession of griots, this is to ask them to pardon me and let me play a little music so I can eat." I was hoping you could kind of give some insight into that. What would his grandfather have to give to pardon him? And do you know anything about that aspect?
The caste system, and it's not even used, that term isn't used an awful lot because it connotes something very different. It's not like the caste system in India at all. It's not like it's not a hierarchical system. It's more of a functional system that are with each caste or each group being complementary to the others. There was, however, no intermarriage or between them. So there was that sort of social taboo. But again, it wasn't like the strict hierarchical differences. That said, people took enormous pride in what they did, whether they were the iron workers, whether they were the nobles, whether they were the griots, you know, whatever they were. They took enormous pride in what they did. And crossing the line was a little bit like saying, you know, you can't do your job. I'm going to come and do it better than you, which is sort of a slap in the face, you know?
Right.
So maybe that's sort of why he felt he had to, you know, ask pardon and say, you know, please excuse him. He's not doing this to offend you, but, you know, it's because he wants to sing. Maybe, I mean, that's a guess, but my guess would be something along that line.
Yeah.
Leif Keita and Kante Manfilo with the song Finzamba, originally recorded in 1980. It remained unreleased, at least widely, until 2006. The two met as part of the Rail Band, a group that formed in 1970 and played every week at the buffet bar of the Station Hotel in Mali's capital, which was actually like the main train station of the city of Bamako. The group was sponsored by Mali's Ministry of Information and the Railway Administration and were one of many government-funded groups. The band combined traditional African music with other influences, such as Cuban music, and this meant combining electric guitar with traditional instruments such as the kora and the balafon. Here's a song recorded by the Rail Band just after Salif and Kante left the group. It's called Nantillon.
Yeah.
listening to the music of West Africa, you will hear some instruments that are unique to the area. One of the most common instruments is the kora. The kora is a 21-string harp lute, which means it has a neck. And the base of the instrument, which is made of wood or hollowed calabash, is often covered in animal skin, so it acts as a resonator. The strings are plucked, and this is the most common of the traditional instruments played by griots when reciting history orally. Another popular instrument is the balafone, which is part of the idiophone family, like the xylophone, and traditionally these balafones have 21 keys. Our guest Nanette also had a story to add about the balafone.
The balafone has a fascinating history in Burkina, and I'm assuming it happens in Mali as well. There is a language of the balafones, and if you get traditional balafone players together, they can talk to each other, they can carry on a conversation, they can tell stories through their balafones. And it's one of these very deep cultural practices, I guess, and not everyone, even in the culture, understands it all. But a very complex communication, musical, cultural, everything's all integrated into these balafones. At some point, there's some places that have drums. When you hear about the talking drums, it's a little bit like that. But the balafone, I think, is even richer and more developed. That's fascinating to pursue, actually.
Yeah. Do you know if these instruments are still popular among younger musicians?
Oh, yes. There are lots and lots of young troops playing these, and they're doing international tours. I mean, the better ones are doing international tours, and it's really very impressive to hear these good players. You know, you get a group of six of these balafone players, and it's very impressive, very very impressive with the drumming. That's very much loved by all ages still. So.
And is it are they easier to come by than, say, electric guitars, electric basses, drum kit? Is there an availability that helps kind of keep it alive?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very easy. I mean, yeah, it's very easy to get that.
Good.
Although there's a whole spiritual aspect to producing the real balafones. You know, getting the right wood and the right people to do that and all that. So to get the good ones, it would be relatively expensive for there, and you'd have to look for the real masters of who can do that. But then there are regular balafones that are less good that are available widely. Actually, one of the traditional gifts that you would give to a child who's about 1 year old is a balafone.
Oh, wow.
And so, my kids got them, presented with gifts, and I've given them as gifts to people with little kids. And little kids absolutely love them. So, that's an indication that it's something that kids learn about very early on and grow up with.
Yeah, that probably helps develop their mind a little better than, say, a cell phone or a video game or something like that. That's great.
I would agree with that 100%.
Thank you.
bo jatigu tɔgɔ la ne amadu bari fɛ an k'an tulo k'a la.
Ali Farka Touré and Tumani Jabate with the song Gomni. Thanks for joining us here on Connecting the Notes as we look at music from Western Africa. Before that song, we were talking about some of the traditional instruments used in Africa, and one of them, the harp-like kora, could be heard in that song. It was played by Mr. Tumani Jabate. Ali Farka Touré was the guitarist featured and is one of the most successful musicians to come out of Africa. Like singer Salif Keita, he was not born into a griot family and faced some obstacles getting into music. Even in the later years of his life, he said he felt his role in life was farming and caring for his family and not music. He was strongly influenced by the American blues, or were the blues influenced by the traditional music of his land? He took an interesting approach to this topic, telling Ian Anderson during an interview, quote, "I listened to John Lee Hooker records in the 1960s. The first time was with a friend who was a student. He came with records by John Lee Hooker, Albert King, and Otis Redding. I said to him, listen, this is music that has been taken from here." He goes on to add, quote, "In my village, although it's not traditional guitar that is played, it's played in a very similar way," end quote. When you consider how many people from Mali, from Guinea, from Senegal, entered this country through slavery, it's easy to see how these musical influences could have worked their way into the development of the blues. In fact, musicians such as Ry Cooder, Corey Harris, and Bill Frisell, just to name a few, have visited Mali to perform and collaborate with African musicians. Here's another Ali Farka Touré song called Haygana. Earlier this week, Nanette Alvey, who lived and taught in this area of Africa, caught up with the show and told us about the time she saw Ali Farka Touré performing live in Burkina Faso.
I saw him, actually. I saw him in concert in Bobo, in Burkina, where we were, and quite frankly, that stands out in my memory as one of the best concerts I have ever been to in my entire life. The music was fabulous, but I think what made it even sort of over the top super was he had with him a young griot, a man, and this man was traditionally the griot's role is to precede a noble or something and sing his praises of everything that this person has done, and just inform people that this man is coming and who he is. So this this young griot filled that role so perfectly. And yet he himself was so perfect, so incredibly talented, and had such an incredible appeal and connection with the audience. So he was just a true performer. And he had everyone in that auditorium believing that Ali Farkatoure had turned down, actually, a tour through Asia and Australia and Japan and China to come to Bobo to sing to us. And that's what griots do, you know. Half of it's exaggerated, but there's an element of truth in it. But he had us all believing that. And just how he brought the traditional role of these griots to a modern stage with modern equipment to a modern audience was absolutely spectacular, you know. And that it was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful.
What kind of venue was this? Kind of set the stage. How many people? Best to your recollection.
Well, it was actually fairly. It was an outdoor theater, but fairly small. So, a couple hundred people, maybe.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
that's great.
A couple hundred people. So there was an intimate. It was an intimate milieu, which contributed to it, I'm sure. But I mean, both of them had. So much stage presence that they would have filled something.
Right.
10 times that big.
Je vais te chercher. di famulia iba kaka deli mani ba wa kaka tele dewa ni wa kaka funa soro woro na lesa kaka kaka kuma la vilama
So is this music still resonating with the younger generation today?
Yes, it is. I think there's a whole new generation of music, too, coming in. It also mixes both modern and tradition. But again, sort of maybe going towards the modern more than the Salif Keitas or Ali Farka Touré. But I think there's, you know, if in Burkina particularly, there is huge effort to develop the traditional cultures. And so there in each city, in each town, each village, each region, and then nationally, every year there are these competitions for, you know, music and players, and they're usually on a traditional level. So it is still very much alive.
With the availability of MTV and American radio, how much influence does the American music have over there?
There's a huge influence. On any street corner in almost any small town, you can buy pirated CDs for, you know, any American musician, particularly rap, people like hip-hop. They love it. But I think they also love their own music. So I don't think it's really hurting the traditional music scene commercially, because people still like their traditional music a lot. what people are producing today. My kids still listen to, some of their favorite African tunes.
Oh, that's good.